Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Ayin Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Gimel, Amud Aleph, third line, by Rabbi Bachama. We had learnt in the previous shir, the Gemara had asked the question, does a husband have the ability to be made for Nedarim of his wife, even though he hadn't heard those Nedarim? Does a father have the ability to be made for Nedarim of his daughter? Certainly if she's a mureses, if he did not hear those nadarim. And now our Gemara asks a similar shaila. By Ram B'chama, Cheresh, somebody who can't hear, Mao Shiei Felishtoi, does he have the right to be made from the nadarim of his wife? And the Rosh points out that even though throughout Shas, when we have the word Cheresh, it typically means a deaf mute who can't hear or speak. In our Gemara, the definition of a cheresh means someone who can't hear but can speak. And the Rosh gives two reasons why. One, he says, is in halacha, the status of one who can't hear and speak is equivalent to someone who's a shaita, someone who doesn't have any intellect, and certainly someone who doesn't have any intellect would not be able to be made from the Dorim. So a true cherish, a deaf mute, there would be no question, cannot be made from. Another reason why the Rosh says our Gemara must be speaking about someone who can't hear but can't speak is because Hafara has to take place through verbalizing the Hafara, and were our Gemara to be referring to an individual who cannot speak, he obviously can't articulate the hafara, and it would not be a qualified hafara. Therefore, the Gemara here must be speaking about someone who can't hear but can speak. But asks of Shmuel Rozovsky, we had discussed in the previous shir, when, as we said a moment ago, we were discussing a husband or a father who did not hear a neder, if they could still be mefer. So we explained that the Rishonim all say that if the husband is aware of the neder, even though he didn't hear the wife speak the neder, or the father didn't hear his daughter say the neder, the fact that he's aware of the neder is certainly considered enough for them to be allowed to be made for. So if Al Gemara is referring to an individual who, yes, he can't hear, but he can speak, so he can become aware of the neder by us writing for him that his wife had made a neder, by us writing for him that his daughter had made a neder. And why would that not be certainly a situation that is considered that he knows of the neder and he could then be made for it? So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky says that if the Torah, in using the words v'shama isha, v'shama aviha, teaches us that the husband or the father have to be people who can hear. And if this person can't hear, even though he's very well aware of the neder through us communicating with him and by other means that a neder was made, that still would be included in the Gemara Shaila, how is this person a husband, a father, who can make hafara? And continues the Gemara explaining, Imtem Tzolaymer, if we will say a baal is mefer b'loy shmiya, that a husband has the ability to be mefer even though he didn't hear the neder, b'shun debar mishmahu, because he's someone who can hear, avel cheresh, this individual who we're discussing, the lav bar mishmahu, he's a person who can't hear. Isn't this the halacha the Reb Zeira teaches us? Hainu the Reb Zeira. This is the din that Reb Zeira teaches us. Om Reb Zeira, kol haroy labila, any time a karbon mincha would be able to be mixed together. The halach is that karbon minchas are brought as a combination of a number of ingredients, flour, oil, and levina, which the Torah says should be mixed together. But the halach is that if the karbon mincha was brought without those ingredients mixed together, the halacha is that the Karban Mincha is still a kosher Karban Mincha. However, teaches us Reb Zeira, if one were to donate a Karban Mincha that would have 61 isorins, a measurement of flour, the Karban Mincha would be disqualified, because the vessel in which these ingredients were placed could not hold 61 isorin that would be mixed. You can't mix 61 isorin of flour in that vessel, and therefore the Karban Mincha is a disqualified Karban Mincha. But the question obviously comes up, if we don't even have to mix the Karban Mincha, why is this Karban Mincha that can't be mixed disqualified? And the answer is, Kol HaRoy L'Bila, any situation where mixing could take place, there the halach is Ein B'ilam HaKeves Bo. The mixing is not essential. However, Kol Ein Roy L'Bila, but in a situation like the one we described, someone bringing Karban Mincha of 61 Asorans in a vessel with 61 Asorans cannot be properly mixed, there B'ilam HaKeves Bo, the mixing is critical and it disqualifies the Karban Mincha. Similarly, in our Gemara, it may well be that hearing is not essential, but it has to be in an individual who can hear. And if we are referring to a cheresh who can't hear, therefore he is not a person that can be made for another. The Rishonim ask that there is a rule, the Mitzvah Shem we will learn when we learn the Masechtis and say the Kachim, Shina Olav HaKosev La'akev, that any din that the Torah repeats more than one time is La'akev, is to teach us that that din is critical and it cannot be ignored. As the Rishonim, the halacha that the Karban Mincha has to be mixed is mentioned more than once. So that shouldn't that be a reason that mixing the Karban Mincha should be considered an essential act in the bringing of the Karban Mincha? So the Rishonim answer that the psukim that speak about the Karban Mincha being mixed do not command us to mix the Karban Mincha. Rather, those psukim are only telling us that that's typically what's done in the processing of a Karban Mincha. Where is there a halacha, say the Rishonim, of Shina Olav HaKosev La'akev, that the Torah repeats a din more than once, it becomes essential? That's what the Torah tells us we must do it. And if the Torah tells us we must do it more than one time, then La'akev, it becomes essential, and if it's missed, it disqualifies the Karban. But if the Torah is just telling us something, but not telling it to us as a command, there we don't have the rule of Shina Olav HaKosev La'akev. Ask the Shagas Aryeh, if our Gemara is teaching us that Kol HaRoy L'Bila Bila Ma'akeves, Kol HaRoy L'Bila Ein Bila Ma'akeves Bo, Kol Ein Roy L'Bila Bila Ma'akeves Bo, ask the Shagas Aryeh, the Shulchan Aruch says that if someone Chas V'Sholem cannot speak, we know the halacha is that in order to be Mekayim Mitzvahs Kriya Shema, one has to verbalize the Kriya Shema. So if somebody Chas V'Sholem can't speak, how is he Mekayim Mitzvahs Kriya Shema? He should listen. If we have an individual who could speak but can't hear, he should listen to who can't speak but can hear. Should listen to someone else saying the Kriya Shema, and he will be Mekayim the Mitzvah. But ask the Shagas Aryeh, based on our Gemara, that if you can't do something, you become disqualified. So this person can't speak, so how could he be Mekayim Mitzvahs Kriya Shema through listening to someone else, through the concept of Shomeya Ka'ina? Says the Shagas Aryeh that Shomeya Ka'ina should not be viewed as some sort of a B'di'evit situation, that if I can't say the Kriya Shema myself, I could be Mekayim it through Shmi Ka'ina. That there actually would be a great Shaila. So if I can't do it myself, I can't be Yotze from someone else. Shomeya Ka'ina, says the Shagas Aryeh, teaches us that becomes l'chatchila the manner of articulating divrei Torah that we're supposed to say. Take Megillas Esther, for example. If someone doesn't read the Megillah himself, but hears someone else reading the Megillah, because he's Mekayim through Shemei Koina, doesn't say that, okay, you didn't read the Megillah yourself, but you can Mekayim through Shemei Koina. Shemei Koina says that that's a l'chatchila way of reading the Megillah. I don't have to read it myself. I can hear someone else read it. If so, that Shemei Koina is l'chatchila, the good manner of being Mekayim a mitzvah, then this person who can't speak, but is relying on Shemei Koina, can rely on it and be Mekayim the mitzvah Krishna. So the Gemara is suggesting that perhaps this individual who Rabbi Bachama is referring to, who can't hear, is an individual who cannot make afara. Or there's another reason to suggest that such a person would not be able to do mitzvah afara. Or we could say Shama Isha Lo Ma'akev. The Torah is not suggesting that you have to hear, and therefore, even if you don't hear, that doesn't disqualify your afara, and therefore this individual who didn't hear could still do mitzvah afara. Amar Rava Toshma V'shama Isha. The Torah teaches us the words V'shama Isha, teaches us the Braisa Prat L'Arish Eishas Cheresh. A Cheresh who can't hear is unable to do mitzvah the hafara Shma Mina. So Rav Baruch Ber points out that our Gemara has given us actually two reasons why someone who can't hear cannot do hafara. One is the reason of Rav Zeira, that kol haroy labila ein bila makeves pa, v'kosh ein roy labila bila makeves pa. Or the reason that Gemara ends with, the reason Rava teaches us, because it's exeris akasiv, v'shama isha prat leishas cheresh. What would be the nafkamina, says Rav Baruch Ber, between these two reasons? What would be the halacha if someone, when his wife said the neder, was able to hear, or actually even heard her say the neder, and then afterwards, Rechman al-Tzlan, he became deaf, and now he can't hear? That takes place before the actual hafara. If we're going to follow Reb Zera's reasoning, so this person was a person that was Roy Labila. This was a person that was able to hear the neder, and was able to be made for it. And therefore, even though he unfortunately became deaf before he was actually made for it, his afara would be a good afara. But if on the other hand we're learning it from the pasuk that says v'shama isha, that there's a gzeiris akasif, that a person who can't hear cannot make afara, even though this person heard the neder, but the fact that he wasn't able to make the afara, or when he's coming to make the afara, he's an individual who unfortunately can no longer hear, he would be an individual who's disqualified from making the hafara, because he can't hear when he's not a person that can hear when he's coming to make the hafara. The Ran says that the question that we discussed at the previous shir, that we said at the end of the shir, that the Gemara had asked if a husband, a father, did not hear the neder, are they still able to make hafara? Perhaps, based on the maskana of the Gemara that we just learned, that the Gemara says, v'shami isha prat l'cheresh, the Braisa seemingly is teaching us that only a cheresh, someone who can't hear, can't be made for. But a father or a husband who are able to hear, but they just didn't hear this nether that the wife or daughter made, would be qualified to be made for. However, the Rishonim say that that is not necessarily conclusive proof. It could well be that this Bryce is teaching us that anyone who did not hear the nether cannot be made for. And the reason the Bryce chose to teach us this din regarding a cheresh, because that's the typical case where someone won't hear the nether. But it may not be that it's only referring to a cheresh. It could be anyone who did not hear the neder cannot be made for the neder. And actually, when it comes to speak lahaloch lamaisa, if a husband or father did not hear the neder, can they or can they not be made for the neder? The Rishonim say that this is really based on another concept we have discussed. The opinion of the Rambam is whatever the Gemara says in Imtim Tzolaymer, that is the halacha. So if our Gemara began, the shiur that we began today began with Imtim Tzolaymer, Baal Meifa B'loi Shmiya, that's a proof that that is the halacha. And indeed, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that a husband can be made for a neder even though he did not hear the neder articulated. The Rama, who doesn't always follow the opinion of the Rambam, holds l'chatchila, certainly a husband or a father have to hear the neder of their wife, a daughter, in order to be able to be made for the neder, because he doesn't necessarily follow the concept that we always follow, the Imtim Tzolaymus. Continues the Gemara, Ba'iluhu, Baal ma shi'efa l'shtey nosha v'bas achas. Can a husband be made for, he has two wives, and both wives made a neder at the same time? Can he be made for both wives in the Dharma at the same time? The Torah uses the words oisa, yana, yani oisa. Do we say that that is dafka, meaning each wife separately? I love dafka. Or does it not mean each wife separately? The Sefer Nidre's reason says that certainly the halacha would be that if one's wife made a number of nedarim, that the husband can be made for all of that one's wife's nedarim at one time. He says our Gemara Shaila is only regarding two different wives. The Ragged Shover in the Tzofnas Paneach says that the Gemara Shaila, he asks, what would be the halacha regarding a wife and a daughter? And the question is, if someone can be made for the nedarim of his wife and daughter at the same time. And actually, the Tzofnas Paneach says that this question is really dependent on another shaila that we have discussed. Is the hafara of the father equivalent to the hafara of a husband? Because as we discussed, the Rambam's opinion is that a father has the ability to be made for many more nedarim than a husband has the ability to be made for. A husband can only be made for nedarim of inu nefesh and beino lebeino. And therefore, the Tzofnas Paneach says, if their power of hafara is different, then they could be made for, somebody could be made for nedarim of his wife and daughter at the same time. However, if their hafara is the same, then the halacha would be that he could not be made for his wife and daughter's nedarim simultaneously. Amar Ravina. So Ravina says, Tashma, we know the halacha is that if someone accuses under certain circumstances, we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, in Masechta Saita, his wife of having committed adultery, he has to bring his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, go through a whole process which involves writing the parasha of Saita on a parchment, which is then erased by having it dissolved in the Mayim HaMa'orim. Says the Braisa, we do not, if someone has two wives who he accused of adultery, he does not do the Saita process at the same time. Because we're concerned, let's say one wife is actually Tahar and one wife is Tameh. And the wife who is Tahar will proclaim her innocence. That act might encourage the wife who's not innocent to also claim that she's innocent when she is indeed not innocent. So therefore the Torah, and we will have therefore erased the parashas with the Shem Hashem in vain, and therefore the Tanakhama says don't let a husband should not bring two wives to the Beis Hamikdash at the same time. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Min Hashem, is that that's not the reason why a husband should not bring two wives for the parasha site at the same time. Since the Torah uses the word v'hishka, which means the hay comes to speak about each wife individually, oisa levada. Similarly, where the Torah says yoni oisa would mean each wife individually. So the Gemara is saying that our shaila, if one can be made for the nedarim of two wives at the same time, is dependent on the machloikis Masechta Saita. So the Ran says, we would see that since the opinion of the Chachamim in Masechta Saita is that it's only because we're worried that one wife will cause that the other wife should not admit her guilt, which is not an applicable reason by Masechta Nedarim. Therefore, we should say by Nedarim, the Chachamim would hold that one would be allowed to be made for the Nedarim of two wives at the same time. Could we follow the opinion of Chachamim, not Rabbi Yehuda? But the Ran suggests that we don't follow the opinion of the Chachamim in Masechta Saita. Because as the Gemara Masechta Saita says, the opinion of the Tanakhama in that Mishnah is based on Rav Shimon's position. The Rav Shimon is Doirish Tam the Kro. The Rav Shimon explains the reason Pasuk says something. Rav Shimon says when the Pasuk says we should not be mashka, two Saitas at the same time, he doesn't say the Torah says so. He says because the Torah gives the reason. He explains the reasoning of the Torah. Mishim liba gas bechaverta. We're afraid that she's going to encourage her friend. But we say to Rishonim do not follow the opinion of Shimon that's Darish Tam Dekra. So we won't follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who's the opinion of Tanakama. We rather will follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that wherever the Torah says the word Oisa, it's exeris akasav that each wife should have the Maim Hamorim separately. And similarly, if the Torah says Yoni Oisa regarding Hafara, the Hafara of each wife's Nedarim should be done separately. However, the Rashba says that even though regarding Hafara, we are now saying that the Hafara of each wife's Nedarim should be done separately, when it comes to Hataras Nedarim, a very common question, a group of people made a Neder, and now they come to the Rav to have it annulled, there the Halacha would be, says the Rashba, that that Neder could be, that all of the Nedarim of all of the people could be annulled at one time. And the reason is very simple. The difference here, the Torah doesn't use the word Isa. Furthermore, it's based on the Talmud Chacham hearing the reasoning of what the people are saying. And if he hears the reasoning, if it's a common reasoning, he could be matter all of the Nedarim at one time. In fact, the Sharm Tzion and Balacha says on a practical level, we could use the Halacha the Rashba teaches us on Erev Rosh Hashanah. We know on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the minig is to do Hataras Nedarim. We discussed it earlier in the Masechta, where people gather together and are matter the Nedarim. And sometimes people are in a rush, and typically the way Hataras Nedarim is done is one person says the Nusach asking for his Nedarim to be annulled, and then the three other individuals say to him three times, Hakam Matarim Loch, Hakam Machum Loch, we're annulling your Neder. But let's say the group is in a rush, says the Ran, says the Shem Tzer Malacha, we could have a situation that each person will say his Nusach requesting Hatara, and then three people will say to the entire group at one time, Hakam Aturim Lach, Hakam Achulim Lach, and that will be an effective Hatara. Regarding Hakama, says the Ran, if our Gemara is now telling us that Hafara of wives of two, of the Nedarim of two wives cannot take place simultaneously, so too, says the Ran, would be the halacha regarding Hakama. A husband cannot be makim, cannot confirm the Nedarim of two wives, Nedarim at the same time. The Or Sameach takes issue with the Ran, because the Or Sameach says that we can't compare Hakama to Hafara, because as we have been learning, there are two ways of accomplishing Hakama. One way of accomplishing Hakama, as we've been calling it, is an active confirmation, where the husband, the father, actively verbalize a confirmation of the Neder. But another way we've described Hakama is B'yom Shamay, if the father or the husband hear the Neder and let the day that they hear the Neder pass, then the Neder is automatically confirmed, says the Or Sameach. Since we see that Hakama could take place without any verbalization, it could take just place automatically, that should be a proof that Hakama of a number of Nedarim could take place that come of Nedarim of a number of wives can take place at one time. The Mefarshim ask that the Gemara says that we cannot be mashka shtei soitis bebas achas because it's exerts a cause of oisa. Ask the Mefarshim, why do we have to rely on this concept of the Xeris HaKosef? There's a rule of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. We cannot group together mitzvahs. So here, if a husband will bring two wives and be mashke them at the same time, isn't that a concern of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas? So Mefarshim answer based on a Magen Avraham that the only time there's a concern of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas are by mitzvahs that we're obligated to fulfill. However, certainly one is not obligated to bring his wife and accuse of adultery, so that will not fall under the category of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. And in fact, if we discuss the concept of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, there are a number of shailas that the Pesukim discuss regarding this subject. One shaila is on Purim, if someone is bringing shalach manis to someone else, and that person who is giving shalach manis to also happens to be a poor person, could the person by giving him shalach manis mekayim both the mitzvah of shalach manis and matanos levyonim with one act of giving? The shaila also comes up regarding a suda v'chanukas abayis. If someone moves into a new home and he wants to make a chanukas abayis, can he make that suda on Shabbos and or Yontif? We anyway already has an obligation to have a suda Shabbos or suda Yontif. Another shaila that I was asked: can someone make a suda Chanukas Abayis and a suda Sheva Brachas together? And the Mefarshim say, the Stechema discusses this, Ramosha discusses this in a tshuva. Now, what is the concern of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas? The concern of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas shows a disrespect for a mitzvah. If I do two mitzvahs at the same time, it shows that I don't really properly respect the mitzvahs, because I don't do each mitzvah separately with the proper respect and care that the mitzvah should be given. However, if I'm only doing one act and I'm doing that act properly, but by conducting and doing that one act, I am mekayim more than one mitzvah, I haven't shown any disrespect to the mitzvah, and therefore the halacha would be that I could do one act and mekayim two mitzvahs. I could give one gift and mekayim mitzvah shalach manas and matanos levyonim. I could make the sudas sheva brachas and sudas chanukas abayis, or the sudas Shabbos for Yontif and the sudas chanukas abayis all at the same time. Says the Mishnah, Bogeres Shoshasa Shneimas Chodesh, and as we learned this Gemara on Daf Ayin in explaining the Mishnah, the way to understand this Mishnah, Bogeres Shoshasa Yud Beis Chodesh, is not really one case, but it's really two cases. One is that we have a Bogeres. A Bogeres is that a girl who's already begaris and is an arusa, who can get married within 30 days, according to Rav Huna. Others say that it's a little, sometimes it's more than 30 days, only if she got mureses on her birthday, on the day that she became a begaris, would she wait 12 months if she want between the erusin and the suin. Or a basula, a girl who's a nara, who if she wants became mureses and now wants to get nesua, the husband could say we have to wait up to 12 months. So they waited the 12 months. Or almana, any almana who's getting remarried, the time to wait from erusin to nesuin is shloishim yoyim. The halacha is that if that time comes where the husband has to marry this girl, these women, and the husband doesn't marry her, so Rav Elazar Omer yofer. At that point, Rav Elazar Mahoyel Baal Chayim is in the cell. The halacha is at that point, since the time for the Nesu'in came, and the husband is not doing the Nesu'in, the halacha is he has to start supporting the wife, and since he could start, has to start supporting her, the halacha is yofer, he could also be made for her nedarim. Chum disagree with Rabbi Lezer, and they say ain't about mefer achit konis b'rishusoy. A husband is not mefer his nedarim until actual nesuim took place. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Rabbi Lezer Mishnah Rishayna Amar Dava Echad. Rabbi Lezer and the Mishnah Rishayna that we discussed in Masechta Ksuvos follow the same opinion. Before we begin quoting the Mishnah Masechta Ksuvos, we review what we learned in Masechta Ksuvos. The Torah tells us that as soon as erusin takes place, a woman is considered her husband's wife. And once she's considered her husband's wife, if the husband is a kohen, she should be allowed to eat truma, even though she's a Yisraelis. She's considered his kinyan kaspoy. And the halacha is that a kinyan kaspoy eats truma. However, the Rabbanan said that she may not eat the truma. As the Gemara in Masechta Ksuvos says, two reasons. One is the concern, shematashka lachel lachisaktanim. A girl who's an arusa still lives in her parents' home, and there's a concern that if her husband, the arus, the kohen, is sending a truma, she may feed that truma to her siblings who are Yisraelim and may not eat truma. Or the other concern is Vishim Simpon. The husband, when he ultimately marries her, finds that this woman has a mum, has a blemish, that turns the marriage into a mekichtos. The deal was an erroneous deal. She therefore was never really his wife. She therefore never had the right to eat truma. And therefore the halacha is that even though midaraisa she may eat truma, Chazal say that a woman who's a muresas should not eat truma. The Tanan, but the Mishnah Masechta Ksuvos Daf Nun Zayin says, Noisin lepsula shnei masachodesh lefarnas atzma. If the couple wants to get married, the husband or the wife could say we need 12 months to prepare for the nesuin, from when they make up to get married. Higiyah shnei masachodesh, and now the 12 months pass, and he didn't do nesuin, the husband did not conduct nesuin with this wife. The halacha is achels mishaloi vechels betruma. The halacha, according to Mr. Shaina, is that the husband starts supporting her and she may eat truma. And as the Gemara explains, according to Mishnah Rishayna, the two concerns that we mentioned that prevent her from eating truma will not be applicable. Because if the concern is shematashka lacha lachaisa, the Gemara says, he will give her own apartment. She's no longer living with her siblings, that there's a concern that she's going to feed them the truma that they may not eat. Regarding the concern of Simpoin, the Gemara says, he has her examined by his relatives to determine that she has no blemishes, that she has no mumin, and then she's allowed to, and therefore there is no concern that this marriage may eventually be a mekach tos, and that's why she's allowed to eat truma. Aval hayovim, continues the Mishnah, ain't a makla truma. We know that Allah is that if someone, Rahman al-Tzlan, dies without children, his wife falls to Yibam. And that halacha even applies to an arusa, because as we have said, an arusa is considered a neshes ish. So if there was a woman who's mureses, and then was supposed to get married, and her husband passed away before they had the suin, and the 12 months didn't pass yet, her yavam doesn't have the ability to give her the right to truma, and therefore also shisha chadash mifnei abal, she was mureses for 6 months, for shisha chadash mifnei yavam, and then her husband dies, and for 6 months she's before the yavam. So now the entire 12 months pass, or even kul mifnei abal chasun yom echad, she was mureses for 11 months and 29 days, and on the last day before the nesuin was supposed to take place, the husband died. Oy, kul mifnei yom chasu yom echad. Just the opposite. She was only mureses for one day, and then her Oris passed away, and she was standing for Yibum for 11 months and 29 days, and her Chelis for Truma, she would not eat Truma, because a Yavam doesn't have the ability to give, doesn't have the ability to give his Yavama, his Shemeres Yavam, the right to eat Truma. There's an interesting Machloikis Rishonim quoted by the Ran. What would be the halach regarding the Mishnah, according to the Mishnah Rishonim, if we had a situation where the couple was Mureses, the 12 months passed with the husband not taking his wife into Nesu'in, that according to the Mishnah Rishonim, at that point the wife does begin to eat Truma, and then afterwards, before Nesu'in took place, the husband died. Rand says that most Rishonim, and that's the opinion of Rashi, says that our Gemara is teaching us that the Yavam doesn't have the ability to give his wife, to give his Yavama the right to eat Truma, and therefore this woman would not eat Truma. Rabbeinu Tam, however, disagrees. He says, where does the Yavam not have the ability to give his Yavama the right to eat Truma? That's regarding a woman who never began eating Truma, the cases that we just described in our Mishnah. But in a situation, says Rabbeinu Tam, where this woman already began eating Truma, because the 12 months have passed, and therefore, as we learned according to the Mishnah of Rishayna, she's allowed to eat Truma. At that point, says Rabbeinu Tam, once she started eating Truma, even though her husband died, and now she's a Shemeres Yavam, she may continue eating Truma. Says the Gemara Zu Mishnah Rishayna, this was the original Mishnah. Bez Nishachreim Amru, Ein Isha Mechels Petruma, however, a wife cannot eat Truma, until Chuppah actually takes place. And the way the Gemara Masechta explains that we're concerned that the examination that the husband is relying on his relatives will not take place or is not accurate, and then it'll turn out that his wife, that there was a Mekachtos. The Ran here says that there's also concern that she may not move into her own apartment, and since she won't move into her own apartment, the concern of Shema Tashka Lachel or Lachoisa still remains. So the Gemara is suggesting that Rav is suggesting that Rav Elezer, who says that as soon as the time for marriage comes, even though the husband didn't actually do the Nesu'in, he already has the right to revoke his wife's Nedarim, is similar to the Mishnah Rishayna that holds that as soon as the time for Nesu'in comes, she may eat Truma. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says it's not necessarily so. Dimalohi. Atkan loy kashmin the Mishnah Rishayna elamech b'truma d'rabbanim. The Mishnah Rishayna is only saying that Truma she may eat. And the way the most Rishayna explain is as we explained. Midoy Raisa, even an Arusa, is allowed to eat Truma. And certainly, this woman, who the time for her Nesu'in came, should be allowed to eat Truma. It was only a concern of Chazal that prevents her from eating Truma. And Chazal said, at this point, we no longer make that gzeira. But here we're referring to the Nedarim of Daraisa. Emaloi, maybe on, that we're trying to say that he should have the right to be made for her Nedarim. There he has to have actual Nesu'in. And then and only then can he be made for the Nedarim. That's the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. Other Rishonim explain the Gemara, the Mefarish, and our Omid explain the Gemara this way. That when the Mishnah Rishonim said that she may eat Truma, it's only Truma Rabbonon that she's allowed to eat. Truma that we said, let's say, of vegetables. That everybody agrees that the Chiyuv Truma by vegetables is only a Chiyuv Rabbonon. So there we're lenient, and since the time of the marriage came, the time of the Nesu'in came, we allow to eat Truma Rabbonon. But here we're referring to a deraisa that we won't allow her husband to be made for her nedarim until the actual nesu'in takes place. Or it could be described, or it could be argued, atkan l'shamel Rabbi Elazar elgav nedarim. By nedarim, Rabbi Elazar holds that if the time of nesu'in comes, the husband can be made for her nedarim. Because what is the reason a husband can be made from the darm of a wife. The Rav Pinchas Mishmei the Rava, Dama who says Kol Nederes Al Das Balahu Nederes, and therefore this woman making the darm is relying on a husband, who she expects to be a husband because he has to marry her already. Ava Truma Fiyum Rabbanon, regarding Truma, Rabbi Lezer will agree Loi Achla. So the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is that everybody agrees with the concept that Rabbi Pinchas articulated. So why does the husband have a right to be made from the Dorim? Because Kol HaNoderis Al Das Balihi Noderis. The only question is, at what point does that concept kick in? According to Rabbi Lezer, as soon as the time for the marriage is supposed to take place, the concept of Kol HaNoderis Al Das Balihi Noderis begins. The Rabbanan, even though they agree with the concept of Kol HaNoderis Al Das Balihi Noderis, hold that that only begins when there's actual nesuin, not prior. However, the Ram points out that one should not misunderstand this concept of Kol HaNoderis Al Das Balihi Noderis. It was saying that that's the reason why a husband is allowed to be made from the Dorim. So what would be if somebody says, not a wife regarding a husband, when one individual regarding another individual says that every neder I'm making, Al Das Chaveri, I'm making it based on my friend's consent. Will we say that that friend has the right to be made from the Dorim? The Ran, even though he quotes Rishonim that suggests that perhaps that should be the halacha, strongly argues that of course not. The din of Afara was limited strictly to a father, to a husband. Yes, Rav Pinchas is giving us the background for that Gzeiris HaKosef of Kol HaNederes Al Das Balihi Nederes. But that doesn't mean to say that one has the right to take that concept and apply it to other individuals. Only a father and a husband have the right to be made for Nedar. On the other hand, Ritva in Masechta Gittin asks that if the reason why a husband has a right to be made for Nedar is because Kol HaNederes Al Das Balihi Nederes, what would be the halacha, asked Ritva, if when the woman said her nether, she clearly said that she's making the nether not to be dependent on the consent of a husband? Will the husband still have the right to be made for the nedar? So the Ritva gives two answers. One answer is, he says, is there's a non-sadi. We're certain that every nether a wife makes is, even if she's saying differently, she's making the nether depending on her husband's consent. In fact, the Mefarshim say that the halachas that the Rishonim teaches that a wife has to show respect to her husband are actually based on the same concept that Rav Pinchas is teaching us of Kol HaNoderes Al Das Balihi Noderes. That's including the respect that a wife has to show her husband. Another teretz that the Ritva says is that once there's a Gzeiris HaKosef that a husband has a right to be made for his wife's nedarim, that becomes the Gzeiris HaKosef even when the reasoning for the Gzeiris HaKosef is not there. Even when Kol HaNoderes Al Das Balihi Noderes doesn't apply. And in fact, this concept of Kol HaNoderes Al Das Balihi Noderes is a very strong concept. Because we have learned that the halacha is that, let's say, a woman makes a neder prior to her being a mureses. Her husband, once he's ma'aris her, has the right to be made for the nedarim. Now the question is, when she made the nether, she was not even a mureses. She didn't have any relationship with this husband. How can we say Kol HaNoderes Al Das Balihi Noderes? So some mefarshim suggest that every woman, when she makes a nether, even though she's not married now, she's not mureses now, has in the back of her mind that she may become mureses, and her husband has the right to be made from the Dorim. But I think there's a deeper pshat, which I think Rabbi Chanan says in the Koibetz Ha'aretz. Because Rabbi Chanan comes to ask and answer another question. The halacha we're going to learn is that even a couple who only have a kedushay derabbanon, the halacha is that the husband has a right to be made from the Dorim. Now the question is, how could a kedushay derabbanon affect a din deraisa? So Rabbi Chanan says that kol HaNoderes Al Das Balihi Noderes teaches us that there are two parts to the hafara that a husband, there are two dinim in a husband being able to be made for his wife's nedarim. One is that there's a gzeiras hakasif, that a husband is made for his wife's nedarim. And therefore, when we have a kedusha deraisa, even if the wife is saying that she doesn't want the husband to have the ability, under all circumstances, the husband has the right to be made for the nedarim. And Rabbi Elazar expounds that that even refers to a situation where they're supposed to get married, even though they didn't actually have the nisuin. Then there's another concept, which doesn't speak to the fact that they're married. That is called deras adas palahi nederes. Every wife expects and understands that her husband has to consent to her nether, and therefore, even though there's only a kedusha derabbanon, her nether she makes is dependent on her husband's acceptance or revocation.